Fishing. Skiing.
Surfing.
Shake things up with Pokemon Pikachu 2. The more you shake it, the more Pikachu will do for you.
Get me down!
Train lots and shake it up with friends. Pokemon Pikachu 2.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 45th episode of the Pokemon
Good
Podcast.
Start.
We're keeping it. We're keeping it moving on. My name is SBJ, and with me today I have Travis.
So, I mean, without getting too much into the meat of things, I wrote a limerick in honor of what happened this week. I couldn't be bothered to do the actual number of syllables correctly, but I did the rhyming scheme right. So, about Gen 3, I was bitter, but one day, there was a buzz on Twitter, 4 remakes were announced, and folks hoped my hate was renounced, but I still think it's the runt of the litter.
That was snaps.
Yeah, that was good.
Snaps?
That was good. Thanks. That's classy. Is that a decent word? Our other decent guest we have today is Logan.
You know, one time is a Facebook contest, two times maybe I had something to contribute, but three times you guys totally have a crush on me. It's official.
It's true.
Third date.
Attract. Cute. Charm. Other Pokemon man. Things. Fairy type.
Got it.
So we didn't record last week. We took a week off, but the week before, I was at C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, or something like that. Entertainment Expo. No, that's E3. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways.
It must be Chicago Comics
and Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, so pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not that far off. I just wanted to give a shout out to anyone who was there and now are listening to the show, because this would be the episode afterwards. So for those of you that weren't there, obviously you can go back and listen to that live show. But because there was no visual aid this year, there's no video recording, we did get a bigger room than last year. And last year we filled about 200 seats. This year we filled almost 300 seats. Which was really cool. Veronica Taylor was also there, and she introduced me for the panel.
That's so rad.
That was really cool. She's so nice in person, and that was really cool of her to do. They actually called me and asked if they could do it, and I was like, why would I say no to that ever? We gave out a bunch of Mario cat ears, the same ones we gave out at Midwest Gaming Classic, so that was pretty cool. And since we had like 200 cat ears and there was 300 people, we pretty much gave out every cat ear, and it was cool to like overlook like a crowd of cat ears.
So there was a part at the beginning of the show. I was not there, but I did listen to the audio where you're like, how many people have heard of me? Oh, more than last year. I just want to know like where were we sitting? How many people had heard of us of the 300?
I want to say when I asked that question every year, but last year when I asked it, I would say probably about a dozen people raised their hand. This year I want to say about 2 dozen to 30 people raised their hand this year.
Nice.
So twice as many as last year. When
represent.
Yeah, so that was really, really cool. What was super funny, I think it was cut at the end because we had our audio issues with that show, go figure. But I played the clip where I said like Charizard would get like a fourth evolution, like that was my prediction. And the kid who asked that question was actually in the audience again this year. Him and his mom were like super excited because I used that clip, and it was like, oh my god, he asked that question. That was so cool, kind of thing. So that was really cool. It was a really, really good show overall, and I wish I had the real audio for it, but I think what we got together was decent enough.
Yeah, it sounded fine to me.
But that's probably not why you guys are listening. You guys are probably listening because you want us to talk about the new Pokemon games that are announced.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad we're not going to do that. We will get there.
Sorry, there's new Pokemon?
Yes, Pokemon Art Academy, actually.
I'm so excited about it.
But we will get to all that after our break. We do want to start off with our news. And it's been kind of a slow news week, obviously, and it kind of all led up to, it's been a slow, like, last 3 weeks until recently. But our first bit of news is the Pokemon TV app is now available on Kindle Fire. I think before it was just, like, iOS devices.
Yeah, I think it was just iOS and then obviously the website.
Right. I should read my own article. It says it's on Android, but I think Kindle is like a different version of Android.
I don't know. All I know is my mom got one, and
so your mom's now watching Pokemon, is what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. That thing can see. Okay. Preface: I don't know how internet works, like at all. So just know that. But that thing. So I'm living with my parents again now because it's in the summer, so I'm not at school. That thing hogs bandwidth like you've never seen.
All of a sudden,
I'm trying to like do some basic surfs, and it's like the seas on which I'm surfing
To get to Cinnabar Island.
Are calm, yeah.
if I. I'm not mistaken. I think because Amazon's Kindle uses a specific browser called Silk, Amazon Silk, and I think it's supposed to like preload and determine pages that, in this case, your mom would visit, so that when she goes there, for her, those web pages would load faster, which is probably taking away.
Yeah.
For you, every web page loads much slower. Man, that whole sentence was just a mush.
No, it's fine. I'll give you a pass.
We'll maybe let you on a fourth episode.
Yeah, it's the third day. You get some wiggle room.
What else do we have in news? So yeah, Pokemon TV app is now on Kindle Fire. It of course is on iPad and iPhone and every other device under the sun. Including your computer. But in other world events, Pokemon Happy Meals are coming back to McDonald's for the 30th time.
Just as exciting as the first.
It really is. Except I think when Burger King had Pokemon toys, that's when Pokemon was really shining.
Yeah, man. And then you could, like, you had extra toys later because, you know, they killed that kid, the Pokeballs did.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And then you could bring the Pokeballs back for a small fry, and like that was really sad. But you know, I did get a lot of free fries. This is a really morbid story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Pokeballs.
Wait, let's tell this story.
The Pokeballs were a choking hazard, and choking happened. So
yeah, that's a real thing. Like a small child, like an infant, got the ball stuck on his face, and so they had to do a recall. And the way they did that recall is if you took it back to Burger King, you got a free small fry.
That might be one of the most interesting recalls I've ever heard of.
I guess they couldn't really. I mean, you know, it's a toy that they gave away for free, so they can't really be.
Right.
It's not like a car.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Good point. I just remember this. Not a laughing matter. I just remember when Burger King got the Pokemon toys. They pretty much had all like 150. Am I not mistaken?
Was a lot. I was really like, I went to a Burger King trading night. Yeah, that was. I mean, that was a thing, and there were like really like 20 kids there.
That was also around the same time. That was the same time where they had the gold plated Pokeball things.
Yeah.
But you had to pay extra for those.
They were like $6 or something.
Right.
Worth every penny.
Try to tell me that those gold Pokemon cards were real gold.
Are they not real gold?
You cannot retire.
I'm sorry, Steve, but I hate to break it to you, but your retirement fund, i.e. a pile of Mewtwo golden Pokemon cards, are not actually worth
it. I just canceled my 401k because I found him and I was banking. The X and Y Happy Meals are coming to McDonald's on May 23rd. If you want more details, you can read about that on our website at PokemonPodcast.com. Little plug right there. But it looks like there will be 12 different Happy Meals. In fact, they will be battle launcher toys, which will contain classic Pokemon like Pikachu or Mewtwo, or newly discovered Pokemon like Chespin, Fennekin, and Froakie, and Yveltal and Exernius.
I believe you mean Yule Ball and X-Ray.
That's right. Oh, inside jokes. Let's see.
It's still funny if you don't know, though, because it's still a funny thing that you said that one time, and I can just repeat, and all the new listeners think that I made that joke.
That's right.
This is the long con. Actually, it's the short con, because only the new listeners think that I said it.
Before we started the show, you guys were talking about all the inside memes and jokes that are on the banner on our website.
Oh, yeah.
reddit.com/r/PokemonPodcastMemes. It's not a thing.
It looks like there will be, if you purchase a Pokemon, I didn't know this news story was going to be so long. If you purchase a Happy Meal at the Mickey D's, you also get some kind of code to unlock a McPlay power for the iOS or Android. Apparently, McDonald's has an app called the McPlay. That's breaking news on its own.
That's Gen 7 right there.
McDonald's sponsors Pokemon.
So there you go. There's your all the McDonald's news you need. Something I am not educated on, which is Pokemon battling. There is the 2014 International Championship International Challenge, May Challenge, which is the newest online competition. I think it already began. It began just 4 days ago on the 8th, and it's going until this Thursday. So by the time you hear this, we'll probably be Wednesday morning. So you'll have a day or two to listen, or you'll have a day or two to compete. But I don't know if you guys competed at all.
No.
Nope.
Been taking a break.
Who needs
to? We're really good Pokemon fans. You see these other podcasts, they're like, they don't participate in anything, but we go to everything, like all of the online competitions I've never partaken in. the nationals that I won't go to this year.
But yeah,
for
me
the
either.
First time in years.
Yeah, not a lot of people are going to nationals this year. That's because it's at $25 limit to get in, at least for TCG players.
Yeah.
Do you know these international challenges have actually a participation limit?
Of how many?
This one in particular has 50,000.
Wow. Wow.
I can't say I've ever heard of one hitting that quota.
Yeah.
But,
oh, man. I might have entered this if I was like reading the Pokemon podcast website like I should be.
Well, it's like the same if you go to a competition. You still get 15 minutes per match. You're allowed to do 20 games per day. So you can't do any more. Obviously, you're limited to the Kalos Pokedex. Pretty much everything that's already there, except this is online, and you play it. You play at will, so if you want to do one battle a day or if you want to do all 20, it's totally up to you.
But if you want to do well, you'd have to do all 20 every day?
Right. And you'd have to do even better in all 20 of those matches.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I don't know if there's like a prize or anything.
I mean, it's on a Thursday and I have to do 20 battles. That's like undoable if you have a job.
Yeah. I would imagine, because at least each battle is going to run you 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's a complete landslide.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll be slower too. I mean, It just depends on the match, but yeah, that's a good safe bet.
Yeah, so if every battle took you the full 15, that's 4 an hour, which is, what, 5 hours of time you have to dedicate?
Oof.
And that's not even counting...
It all has to be that one day, are you sure?
Well, yeah, as well, you can go up to 20 per day.
Oh, okay.
So if you wanted to...
So not only do you have to dedicate 5 hours on Thursday, you also have to dedicate 5 hours on every other day.
Yeah. Right.
Like I said, unless you were getting just complete flops. But isn't it like the better you... Like, they match you with people that have the same win ratio.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
So it's only going to get longer and longer the more you play, because you're not going to get like a flop 10 battles in if you're doing really well.
I'd probably just forget to Mega Evolve anyway.
Who needs to Mega Evolve? Pokemon did announce a new game, Pokemon Art Academy, which a lot of people were upset that it was only coming to Japan, but as of just a day or two ago, they confirmed that it is coming to both the UK and the US.
But nobody cared because of the much bigger announcement.
Right.
I cared.
This
Logan's soul voice just like, can we get a solid release date for Pokemon Art Academy?
That's exactly how I sounded too.
it was almost like there are two of you in this room that we're in, because this is not recorded over the internet. Well,
that's right, because we all fly to Travis's house to record.
Well, you
hop on my mom's Kindle.
He always has great snacks.
Who doesn't? Pokemon Art Academy is coming to the 3DS. I believe the last Art Academy game was on Wii U. But it will you will have 40 different lessons in drawing Pokemon on the 3DS screen with your stylus. And it will include Charizard, Fennekin, Fletchling, Oshawott, Pikachu, and Torchic, to name a few.
So that was all Fire-type Pokemon except for two of them.
Pokemon Art Academy Fire Edition.
Yeah.
it is coming to Europe on July 4th.
Flareon and friends.
Because they don't celebrate Independence Day. And it is coming to America sometime this fall. No solid release date. But I think Japan gets it in a month or two. Go figure.
Yeah.
Travis, I can't wait to see your Pikachu drawing that you're going to upload to Miiverse.
I mean, like, some people are like, oh, Mona Lisa, like, you know, what's behind the smile? But once I release my Pika Doodle, I think people will realize that.
Into the wild?
Yeah. I think people will realize that Da Vinci Schmishinsky, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I'm doubling down right now. I don't even have to see it. I believe it.
Yeah.
Man. These are like my two favorite things, Pokemon and Miiverse.
Oh yeah, you do actually like Miiverse a lot.
Miiverse is it's better than any forum or message board you could ever go to. It is just pure comedy every time I log in. It's solid gold. And now, like, I get to
just
see...
Just like those Mewtwo coins.
Right, are. Solid gold.
Solid, 100%.
Comes full circle. How long have we been talking? 18 minutes.
18 minutes and we haven't even mentioned the thing people want to hear us talk about.
We can delay it a little bit more.
are we trying to like keep them on the edge of their seat?
I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon news to cover. Like, Twitch plays Pokemon.
A Carrot stick just appears in front of all the listeners. It's blue and red.
Mm-hmm. So let's get all our listeners up to the Twitch plays Pokemon phenomenon.
Is this still a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, Twitch played Pokemon got a little bit better because first off, they moved on from Hoenn. No one wanted to watch that.
Yeah.
They moved to they're on Diamond and Pearl right now. The creator of Twitch Plays Pokemon incorporated the bottom screen, of course, because this was the first DS screen. So instead of typing A or B or left or right, you can type in two numbers with a comma in between, and that would select the coordinates on the touch screen, which is really cool.
Yeah.
What's even better than that, I mean, oh, let me tell you their party Pokemon. Right now they have a Flareon at level 52, a Golbat at level 42, a Bronzor at 46, a Bibarel, they got a Bidarel at level 21, Roserade, 54, and a Shinx at 49. I'm pretty sure they're not letting the Shinx evolve. and they've also caught, last I checked, they caught six different Bidoofs. So,
nice.
Pretty awesome there.
It's awesome.
But to make everything even better, they've included Pokemon Stadium 2 during the live stream.
What does that mean?
Not only are you watching Diamond and Pearl getting played, but you're watching random matches of Pokemon Stadium 2, and they devised it in a red team and a blue team. So every 2 minutes, it like kind of resets itself, and then each team picks three random Pokemon, and they're computer controlled, and they just battle each other. But people can bet money. I'm not sure how they get the money. I think it's just you start off with a certain amount of money, but you bet which team you think is going to win. And then it pays out
like
at the end.
Salty Bet with Pokemon Stadium.
Yes, it's Salty Bet plus Twitch Plays Pokemon on the same screen.
Exactly. This is the best of both worlds. So right now, as we're streaming this live, the blue team has Tangela, Venusaur, and Execute. And the red team has Krabby, Pidgeot, and Machoke. And the odds
are only four people watching the stream because this phenomenon.
And there's a 5-to-1 ratio here in cash.
It's officially a phenomenon not anymore. Because I've been hearing about this thing for so long.
I gotta be honest, this is pretty awesome.
I mean, this guy who's running Twitch Plays Pokemon is probably still making bank.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1,435 visitors right now, like, currently watching.
Right. And this is, like, a low peak. Usually during, like, a work day, it's usually between 2,000 and 3,000.
That's awesome.
So, I think having 2,000 people consistently watch your feed is probably pretty profitable.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Golbat's gonna evolve. Hold on.
Or is he?
Nope, they stopped it. Twitch Plays Pokemon never disappoints. You guys mentioned Salty Bet. I wasn't familiar with it until somebody explained it to me. But I mean, I explained how Twitch Plays Pokemon work, but do you want to explain how Salty Bet works?
Why would we do that?
It's awesome. What you do is you're watching a fighting game, and the characters are anything at all from any fighting game or from MS Paint. And
I think I saw, like, Santa Claus once.
Yeah. I will tell you that if you see MS Paint, bet on MS Paint, because it's going to win. They're all broken, unless Asteroids is one. The ship from Asteroids is one of the characters, and that thing is not hittable. Like, its hitbox is one pixel, and all of its attacks make it teleport. So
they're computer-controlled, right?
Yeah. Both they just have some. Well, the AI is built on the character itself. So if you see a character, it's always going to behave like what it does. If that makes sense. So somebody programs in like if the other character reacts this way, do this. And depending on how talented that programmer is, it might be the thing from Asteroid that wins all the time, or it might be like Daffy Duck from the Looney Tunes fighting game, and he's not very good. But you have a set amount of currency, like in the Twitch Plays Pokemon thing, and then you can bet on which character you think is going to win, and if you get it right, then you obviously win some money. Or fake money. It's not
fake money. Okay, that was going to be my next question, was if it was fake or real money.
But you're totally invested in it anyway. Like you get really enamored with your character. Like the first time I saw Daffy Duck, I was super pumped. I was like betting all my money on Daffy Duck. Can't lose, no way. And he is not very good.
is that running 24/7, or is that like a?
Yeah, it's just constant.
Oh, okay.
Like Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Like Twitch Plays Pokemon. which plays Pokemon. What else is constant in our life is taking a break. And so we are going to do that, and then we
except for all those times where we're not taking a break.
That's like true.
This whole time.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, we're now... I'm now watching Twitch Plays Pokemon, so I think we need to take a quick break, give the listeners a little bit of music, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about anything but Hoenn. So, so we'll be right back. All right, and we are back from our break to talk about Miiverse. How great it is. we're going to talk about the announcement that you guys had to sit through 24 minutes of to get to this point, which is in the month of May, this month, Pokemon Company
that
International.
Arcade Fire Song?
TCPI announced... two new Pokemon games coming this November, titled Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire.
Oh, known collectively as Ores, because you'll need one for all of the one.
Right, before we get to the second trailer they showed, let's talk about what we know so far or what we've seen. So if you guys haven't heard about these new games... clearly you don't go on Twitter, Facebook, or the entire internet. But Pokemon announced this on May 7th, so just a couple days ago. And this will be coming, like I said, worldwide. So another worldwide release on November of 2014, exclusively for the Nintendo 3DS. The press release says Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire are a fresh take on Pokemon Ruby and Pokemon Sapphire, which launched in 2003 and were fan favorite hits on the Game Boy Advance system.
Were they?
The new titles promise to take players through a dramatic story within a spectacular new world. It also said
that's
Pokemon.
That's about it. I mean,
Pokemon fans.
That's the end of the show, folks.
Forever.
Pokemon fans will collect, battle, and trade Pokemon in a new adventure. So I just kind of want to stress those two sentences. Which the first one was Pokemon fans will collect, battle, and trade Pokemon in a new adventure. And then
in a new, explore a whole new world.
Yes. why I think that's important is because if you go back and you look at the press release for both HeartGold and SoulSilver and Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Their press releases used words like revisit, go back to. They did not use the words new at all. They didn't say new adventure, or they didn't say a new world or a new dramatic story or anything like that. So it's just interesting. I mean, it could possibly mean nothing, except they didn't know what else. This press release is very short compared to those two press releases. We did get to see box art right away, and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire has Kyogre on it, and Pokemon Omega Ruby has Groudon on it. And they look fancy. Box art not final, of course. But I'm sure that's pretty close to final. And I've been talking a lot, so what do you guys think?
Looks pretty rad. Can't wait for Secret Bases to come back. It's going to be great. I'm going to forget where I put mine.
So, Gen 3 is definitely the most divisive generation, right? I think That's safe to say. I mean, maybe Gen 1, I guess, but I think when it comes down to it, there are a lot of people that really love Gen 3. There are a lot of people for whom there's a lot of nostalgia and also just a lot of love for those games. And then there's a lot of people who really don't like those games. And I think that's more so than any other generation. I mean, there are going to be people who love Gen 4 and people who hate Gen 4, but I think you see that opinions like that about the other generations much less frequently than you do see these sort of very strong opinions about Gen 3, people who love the sort of ecological diversity of Hoenn a lot, and then people like me who find a lot of it to be, a lot of the region to sort of be tedious with all the surfing and caves and the fairly slow start to the story. And so I think, so my take on this, on all this stuff of like, you know, a whole new world and like a whole new adventure or whatever that second statement was, is that I think Game Freak has to be aware that that these games caused issue for a lot of people, and that there might be we've always had updates to the games in the remakes. Like Sevii Islands obviously didn't exist in the original in Generation 1, and there are a lot of story changes in Heart Gold, Soul Silver, not huge things but little things. And I'm guessing that language about new world and new adventure is probably indicating that there's going to be some revisions, maybe a bit of an expedited story would be my hope. But that's just speculation at this point. I have not found myself, like, I'm excited because it's a new Pokemon game, but this is probably the least excited I've been about a new Pokemon game because I didn't really like Gen 3.
I think with piggybacking off what Travis says, you have distinct variations in Pokemon fans. You have like people my age who started off with Red and Blue, and we moved on to Gold and Silver, and then me being 25 when Ruby and Sapphire came out, that was like middle school, high school, where...
I thought you were saying you were 25 when that came out. I'm like, that is not possible.
25 now.
Sorry.
That's where, like, Pokemon became very uncool, socially. And so...
I just stuck with it.
And some people stuck with it. And I and many other people did not. We dropped off, and we came back in Diamond and Pearl. And then you have... And then, of course, they either stayed or didn't. I obviously stayed since I'm running a Pokemon podcast. Travis obviously stayed. Travis, did you start off with?
Yeah.
Did you start off with Red and Blue?
I did.
Okay.
I am a little bit younger than you, so it was sort of like, I think it was when I was in fifth grade that Ruby and Sapphire came out, but it's the same sort of thing. And right. I guess I should be clear that I did like those games insofar as they were Pokemon games. When I said I didn't like them, I guess I just mean they're my least favorite of Pokemon.
Yeah. And then you have there's a very big audience that Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire was their first game. Like, you have people like us where Red and Blue are our first game, and then you have people who say Ruby and Sapphire are their first game, and those are probably some of the most vocal people for a remake. You never see people that go, oh, Gold and Silver were my first game. I mean, yes, they're out there, but there's there's not that big generation gap between...
I'm going to go out on a limb. Wasn't that Justin, who's been on the show before, who was at Strident Radio? Didn't he start with Silver version?
I think he did.
It's really weird if I'm right. It's really weird if I know that.
But I think we can all agree that Gold and Silver was not a lot of people's first. It was usually... like,
it's also just sort of not designed as an entry to the series, given the whole revisiting Kanto at the end of it.
Yeah.
But maybe for parents it was a better buy since you're getting more game for your book.
Yeah.
Not that they would have known that.
Man, I wish there were 16 gems in every game.
Yeah.
So good.
So my take on these games that are coming out is I think we're still going to be set in Hoenn, and I guess, well, let's make it clear that nowhere in the press release or the two videos that it's ever said Hoenn?
The second video is pretty evocative of Hoenn, given, I guess we'll get to that later, but we'll be talking about the second video, but yeah.
So I am going to speculate. This is my prediction, because what else can we do here besides speculate?
Don't hate, speculate.
But I think that the dramatic, the new world and the new adventure is going to be as dramatic as Pokemon Black and White 2 was to Pokemon Black, which isn't that dramatic, but I think in Pokemon Black 2 we got 3 new towns, and we started on the other side of the map.
Right.
So I'm only suggesting that we're probably going to get a couple more towns, and maybe a town that was there is not there, or vice versa.
On the wiki page, because I think I heard this from a friend the other day, but okay, it says, so originally it was unclear if it was a remake or not, and in a financial results briefing that occurred a day after the reveal, the president of Nintendo confirmed that the new games are full remakes of their 2002 counterparts. So that suggests that it is going to be like just a remake.
Mm-hmm. And I was pretty vocal about my opinion here.
Yeah.
So, I talked a lot with the Nintendo reps when they were at Midwest Gaming Classic, and they made an interesting point that Pokemon Company is on their own when it comes to everything. They're running their Twitter, their Facebook, their website, releasing their own games. Nintendo's just kind of there. And there's not much like communication between the two companies of like, hey, you need to do this, or hey, like, we want to do this. It's kind of like they just operate on different rails.
Huh.
So when I heard that during that financial release that he said that these are going to be full remakes,
I don't even think the term full was used, was it?
I think he said full remix.
Okay.
I would...
The wiki page says that, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure that he said full remix. I would really take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he had to say something during a financial calling because stockholders are very angry with their money, and at least very angry with Nintendo and the Wii U sales, which is a whole different discussion. But to say full remix makes me think that they are full remakes without taking into account new Pokemon or Mega Pokemon or possibly new towns or...
Right, because it would be hard. I mean, like, clearly Kyogre and Groudon are the Mega versions on the cover, right? I mean...
They look significantly different. Not as significantly different as most Megas do to their normal counterparts, but, you know, there's different colorations and... sort of like, it's like they got their hair dyed. They have highlights.
It'd be hard to fully remake the game with that as a new thing, right? I mean...
Right. Just reading... So, going off the financial call and then reading the press release and comparing it to old press releases, I can't imagine that there's not going to be a lot of new stuff in this game.
Hmm.
And Game Freak's sort of been on this track of wanting to surprise us with Black and White 2 sort of breaking the mold in terms of this like third version paradigm that they had set up for generations 1 through 4, and then jumping right to Gen 6 when we were expecting a remake announcement.
They broke the mold of not giving us Z. Or whatever they would.
Right.
Yeah.
Because usually it's your 2, then your third one, and then your remix.
Exactly. Actually, now that you're saying that, like, this idea is just formulating in my head, I wouldn't be surprised if the main storyline is very similar to Ruby and Sapphire, but the post-game, you know, bends back and deals a lot with X and Y. Because specifically, there's all this stuff in X and Y that sort of seems, not unfinished, but there's like details that we don't see. Like Zygarde is just sort of there with no real explanation as to what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Pokedex entries to go on, but I think it's pretty clear that there's more there than than meets the eye. And I wouldn't be surprised if post game in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and I forget who it was, but someone mentioned, it might have been Jay, that, you know, Omega and Alpha are also letters like X and Y. Obviously, it's the Greek alphabet instead. But so in that sense, that could sort of be evoking the connection between these two titles more so than just there being Gen 6.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mentioned that too. I can't imagine that Gold and Silver, and of course the remakes Heart Gold and Soul Silver, would be the only games in Pokemon's line to have more than 8 gyms. Like, why? Like, I mean, it could just be the only game with 2 regions, but I feel like we're at this point now where, especially with how short X and Y was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are remakes, and they're using the X and Y engine. They've obviously...
fit enough on that cartridge, though, for both for both Hoenn and Kalos. And I'm not joking. Like, I mean, obviously you can do the digital download, but they're still constrained to what can fit on the cartridge because I was going to do a physical release. So
yeah, I would imagine that most of the data is within the sprites, and I mean they're sharing the same sprites, and I think we can safely move into the second trailer, which everyone got excited because what was it called, like Go TV or Get? Let me look it up real quick.
No idea.
Some like TV program, Pokemon Get TV, whatever that is in Japan. They said that they were going to show some new footage for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and that was going to appear Saturday U.S. time, which I think was early Sunday time in Japan, possibly, because they're in the future. And we got about 30 seconds of footage, which was just Groudon emerging from the water. Doesn't really make that much sense. We see his
but then it's sort of like sunny when he does.
Yeah. And it's very, the sun comes out, and then we have Kyogre emerging from the water, which does make sense. And then it starts raining. And I think we're all in agreement that these sprites are running on the X and Y engine.
Yeah.
And the only thing really new that we see is this dramatic 3D water texture that's going on. Again.
We also see a mountain or volcano-like figure in the background, which hints pretty heavily towards the Sitopolis volcano.
And I think, they didn't say in the video, but because Hoenn was mostly water, and now we only see water, I think it is safe to assume that all of Hoenn has sank, and the entire game will be on the back of a...
Get water your Pokemon. Oars ready.
You're just in a boat instead of a bike. And you just got to row.
Pokemon Wind Waker.
I was just about to make that joke.
Was I the only one like upset that this was the most disappointing / hyped new footage of a game ever?
You were not the only one.
You were not. No.
We're very annoyed by it. And I think rightfully so, right? Like, I mean, I saw some people like saying stuff like, "Oh, what's the point in complaining?" But I mean, that's sort of irrelevant. It's just sort of disappointing to be let on like that when, you know, a lot of people, I didn't, heavens no, but a lot of people, you know, stayed up very late, or depending on what time zone they're in, or like, you know, plan their day around this video, which was frankly underwhelming. So
yeah, I mean, you could see basically that right now in X and Y, just import your Kyogre and Groudon.
Yeah, very true. I mean, props to Pokemon for giving us 30 seconds of information, which is technically new, but tells us nothing more.
It even says game footage not final, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So that's all we really know about it. You got my opinion. You got Travis's opinion. Logan, do you have anything you want from this game? Any speculation you have?
Just secret bases. I want my secret base.
For all
that. Awesome. And I really want it to be like connected so that like your friend list matters on, because, you know, like the friend safari was pretty cool, but it wasn't really like you weren't really involved with your friends.
Yeah.
And spot passing didn't matter at all because Pokemiles are like, you know, that
useless.
Yeah. And especially like they're not useless. You could get something cool from them, but that's if you have like a friend who lives in Japan and you also see them right next to you every now and then, because friends, yeah. You only get like two Pokemiles from friends who live near you. But yeah. if you traded secret bases and then you go in there and you can battle them or something, that would be really neat.
For our listeners who hate Gen 3 or have never played, what is a said secret base?
So you go to a tree and I think you use like secret power on it.
I'm going to stop you now. It was cave walls too. There were indentations sorts of things. I believe it was secret power. Yeah.
I was going to get to the complications later, but yeah. You know, you can make a treehouse or a cave fort or whatever you want. There was a lot of places you could go and use secret power, right?
I think so, yeah.
And it enabled you to have like a little house that you could decorate with all kinds of random stuff. And
it was like the underground from Gen 4, except not as good. Holla.
The underground didn't have a permanent thing though, like you had to be next to the person currently to do anything with them, whereas in Gen 3 you could go battle that person's team as long as you had, I think you recently traded with them or something, and then their team was in their secret base. That was like my first experience with effort training, because you could set it up really nicely to have all easy Pokemon that all have the same effort value, which was why I originally liked it. But it was also cool to decorate and then like set a million traps for somebody so that walking to you was a pain in the ass. Oh, wait, I just got Bulbasaur.
Oh, probably. Yep, that's all right.
My first Bulbasaur. Right. No, I treasure it.
It's the only laughs they'll get during the listen. So I obviously I don't play Pokemon, why would I? But I've seen a lot of people on Twitter put down X and Y several months ago, in fact. A lot of people say the post game's not there, it's not compelling anymore, they want something new. What would Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire have to do to get you to play past post?
Well, I mean, whatever they do, I'm going to do it. But but if they did like Gold and Silver and had a whole other set of gems, that would go a long way.
Return of the Underground. Not even joking. That would make. I mean, I'm going to buy this game and play it through, definitely. And it would make no sense for them to return the Underground,
especially because everything's water.
Right.
But man, the underground!
The underground was fun. So much fun.
You're digging for fossils. You were digging for red shards. You were even digging for yellow shards.
And there's other cool stuff under there too, right?
Spooky plates.
All kinds of stuff.
Scales. That's a stretch. I really want a bank that we go to Kalos or a different region when we're done and get 8 more gems. I think that would add so much more value to the experience. I want what Heart Gold and Soul Silver did to the menu system.
Oh, yeah.
I want, and what Logan says, I want a friends list that mattered. Like, I would get so many invites of like random battles, and I would be like, I want to remove this person from my friend list so they stop asking me for random battles, but I don't know who they are outside of Pokemon because the names are different and there's no friend codes and I don't know who's saying what to me, and stop saying yeah and poking me. Also, I wasn't a fan of the O power thing.
I love them.
I could they go
make
with
everything
them.
So much easier. I mean, I didn't use them socially. Like, that's
that would be not cool.
Yeah. But they were good in and of themselves. It made training a lot easier with the double experience.
Yeah. I almost would also like a, and I don't know if this is going in a weird direction, but let me, before I preface my statement that might be outlandish, do you both have people who were brand new to X and Y, like almost never played a Pokemon, or have but don't remember, and so X and Y was like their game that they got back into Pokemon with?
Certainly a lot of folks that got back into it. I don't know if it was like brand new for anybody that I know. But tons of my friends haven't played in a long time. And I mean, I was like really hyping it on Twitter. I was like, this is the best one ever.
That's true of a lot of my friends too, getting back into it. Some hadn't even played since like Gen 2, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had probably a good handful of people who haven't played since, you know, Gen 1 or Gen 2. And the complaint I heard a lot was they didn't understand why certain things worked or didn't work. And a good example was I had a friend who just completely stopped playing because he would damage a Pokemon, bring it down to the red, he would put that Pokemon to sleep, and he would throw a Pokeball and it wouldn't work, and he would throw a Great Ball and it wouldn't work, and he'd throw an Ultra Ball. And it was frustrating to him that that ratio of how a Pokemon should be caught doesn't make sense because he can't damage it anymore. He's already put it to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more he could do except keep throwing Pokeballs until it is caught. And that's the pure reason why he quit, because it just didn't make sense. And I was like, you're right. Like, I can throw a Pokeball my first turn and I have a better chance of catching it. Then I would. Don't worry, guys. Just an emergency alert here on my phone. I would have a better.
Buy some quick balls, though.
But you know what I'm saying, though. Like,
yeah. I know. I mean, I think it's a valid criticism, but it's one of those things that it's sort of going back to our discussion of IVs from a few weeks ago. That it's one of those things that's so ingrained that any sort of change in those things is sort of basic. Functions of how the game works now would anger a lot of people, I think.
I mean, it at least resulted in some funny comics, because like there's a really, really good one. Like, Articuno is asleep and he throws the Pokeball and then it pops out asleep and it's just laying on the ground still snoozing, but somehow it broke out.
Yeah. Stuff like that just kind of almost takes you out of the experience a bit.
Yeah,
it makes you frustrated, but I think that's all we really have on these two new games, Oars, as they're calling.
As I'm so desperately trying to get people to call them.
No, I'm on board, man.
I think we're on board here. Of course, we're not getting these games till November, so pretty much every episode from now till 151 will be pure speculation. Up to that point,
grasping onto each new detail,
right? And what I mean by up to 151 is because that is going to conclude the first full run of Pokemon Podcast. And what we are going to do is we're going to take a hiatus after 151, and I'm not sure how long that'll be. A month, 2 months, 3 months, sometime hopefully before November is the goal. And then just kind of take some time to ourselves and rework the show, how we can make it better, how we can get it to you guys faster, how we can rework the website, pretty much just take a breather.
And then come back with Pokemon Podcast Gen 2.
That's right. Where we only talk about Johto.
And definitely not the remakes at all.
No, just original base Johto.
Joey comes in, calls in every episode.
Joey calls in, lets us know how things are going. We finally discover who Silver is. We don't have to worry about that Alder guy anymore. Real, real classic show lined up for you guys. Cool. But I think we are going to cut this episode a little bit short to get it to you guys a bit faster. So, no Pokemon of the Week, but if you guys want a Pokemon of the Week, just watch the second trailer to Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, because you just see two Pokemon staring at each other in water.
I have a question, though, for you, sort of similar to, like, Pokemon of the Week. Not necessarily just in design, but, like, in like, function, which do you like more, Kyogre or Groudon? Like, which would you use on a team if you're, like, making, like, Ubers or something?
I have a Kyogre plushie on my desk. He is my jam.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Kyogre's hard to beat. I mean, because Groudon makes fire attacks better, and he's a ground type.
I think that's like the best like misinterpretation ever, where people always think Groudon's fire because Kyogre's water.
Yeah.
I really like Groudon, though. I mean, maybe it's just because I had him on an Ubers team for a very long time, and I think he's really cool as either, like, just a super bulky thing or, like, a physically defensive thing. I think he's really cool. It's cool that he gets Dragon Tail. Dragon Tail, Earthquake, Stealth Rock, and Thunder Wave. It's a fun one.
Oh, I didn't know he could learn Thunder Wave. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Do you know Groudon is, I believe, the heaviest Pokemon?
Oh, I believe so, too.
I think he is, yeah. That's a good, like, if you're at the bar doing bar bets, because the person will always say Snorlax.
Yeah.
Or Wailord. Those are, like, the two. Yeah. And then you pull out Groudon on them. And you win. You win every time, kids.
You win that bar bet with your 8-year-old friend.
With that old friend. Awesome. Well, Travis, where can they find your salty, delicious, savory voice?
Is it salty or is it savory?
Like, it can be both fun. Salty and savory.
This is like a bacon thing.
The best flavor.
Yeah. I don't think bacon's salty.
Twitter.com/thetravisw.
And Logan, where can they find your artistic mind?
My artistic mind is at downplus8.com. That's all one word. I guess my artistic mind also exists on Twitter at Logan Jenkins.
In a diluted form.
It's just not actually art, but you can see a drawing of my face right next to all my stuff.
I spoke over your handle. You might want to say it again. I apologize.
Ugh. is at Logan Jenkins. There you go.
Yep. For our listeners, if our store is back up, PokemonPodcast.com/store or something like that, just go to PokemonPodcast.com. There are some shirts there and some stickers and the pillows that were at Midwest Gaming Classic for exclusive to our listeners only. If you email me about our store, I will email you back an exclusive coupon for our store. You can email me at sbj@pcamncast.com or just go to pokemonpodcast.com and there's a little contact button. But if you're looking to get like a pillow or a shirt or something, I will save you money if you take the time to listen to the show, obviously, because you're listening now, and then you email me about what I said on this show. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter. It's @draggingalake. You can follow the show on Twitter @PokemonPodcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PKMNcast. We're on Stitcher Radio, Scatter Radio, Omni Radio, RSS. You can listen to us on the site. You can also listen to us and download us in iTunes. And that's pretty much it. So, thank you, Logan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
Anytime.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.